Hello, and welcome to The Friendship Quest, a podcast that is brought to you by people. Once again.
Why are you doing this bit again?
I really liked that bit. I thought it was really funny when I said, this is a podcast by people for people.
You're the only one.
Oh.
You found that funny.
Hello, everyone. And we're back again for another exciting installment of The Friendship Quest with me, John, and my co-host, Catherine.
No.
What?
We've been through this.
It's not your name.
It's not my name. I don't want to hear it again.
I'll remember that for this time.
Thank you.
We have received lots of lovely messages from people from our last episode and before, and emails. Thank you. Please send more in at thefriendshipquest@gmail.com or on Katie's TikTok.
Speaking of my TikTok.
Oh, yes.
Let's look at some of those comments. So I posted a video... based on our last episode, which was something about three wishes. I don't remember how I worded
genie,
the question.
No.
If you were a genie.
If you owned a genie, what would be your three
if
wishes?
If you owned a genie.
If the genie owned you.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. What would you wish for? That was the question. Okay.
Exciting.
So people told me what they would wish for. One, no, some of them are the whole like... I'd trick it so that I get more wishes.
Yeah. Okay. No, I said that wasn't allowed.
Okay. Well, obviously, these people didn't listen to the
Not
episode
real
properly.
Fans.
Anyway.
You are a real fan.
This person put number one notebook, number two pen, number three for everything I wrote on the notepad.
That's not a bad shout. Assuming you don't go around. I imagine you could just do that all in one wish.
Could you?
A notepad, everything I wrote.
Yeah, I don't know why you got to wish for a notepad and pen. Do you not have that? Then you could go, when I write with this pen on this notepad, I get everything that I write.
Yeah.
So you wasted two wishes there.
They're just showing off because they've got two to spare.
Yeah, true. Somebody asked, I believe me, as the dinosaur expert.
Oh.
A cupcake that is the size of a dino.
Ooh.
Or a dino that is the size of a cupcake.
Oh, can you imagine how
that's
cute.
A really difficult question.
I don't
you know what I read that to begin with, and I was like, "That's stupid. Why are you asking me that?" And now that I've thought about it, that's a difficult question.
I want a cupcake-sized dinosaur.
Yeah, that's really cute, and then
also,
it's not going to eat you.
You also couldn't get it otherwise, whereas I could buy a massive cupcake.
It's the size of a dinosaur.
I'm an adult with adult money, and I can buy as many cupcakes as I want.
It sounds good until you realize that's a lot of cupcake.
It's true.
Even I don't think I
it
could
would go
eat that
off
much
before
cupcake.
You could eat it.
Yeah,
it'd
so
go stale.
I'm going to go for the tiny little dinosaur.
Mm.
Somebody, I'd end the pandemic with my wish.
We
probably should have mentioned that.
Well, I cured all disease, so that would have helped.
That's true. My first wish is to fix global warming. My second wish is to have healing abilities.
Oh.
And my third wish is to be really rich.
Well, very, very introspective, but I respect the hustle.
I think that's
gotta look out for number one. Am I right, kids?
Number one, I would have the ability to control my age, but can also age naturally.
So, like, you can choose to age stop. I get that.
Which would fit me well.
You would like that.
Because I fear...
You fear age.
Age. Two,
time
have the ability
itself.
To shapeshift, which we mentioned.
Epic ability.
Have the ability to jump into any timeline or reality, including history or any post-apocalyptic worlds. This person knows.
That person knows. Very good.
Knows.
No, that's a good set of wishes.
Somebody... This is my favourite comment. Somebody wrote, of course you would bring back the dinosaurs, Katie.
Classic Katie moves.
It's true. Number one, to have the ability to not feel pain, meaning I can choose when to feel pain and when not to.
Okay.
Number two, everyone in the world to have a wish.
Oh. I mean, that's not allowed in our rules, but that's a very sweet way of doing it.
Do you want to know number three?
What's
You're not going to be happy. Third wish, another genie. No.
No more genies.
Have to stop you there.
No more wishes.
Okay. This person, number one, make everyone have all the money they need except the bad people, which counts as ending world hunger because everyone has money to buy food.
Also,
and then they put number two, nothing. So that's just a waste of your other two wishes, isn't it?
Sucks to be you.
Have you got nothing else to wish for? I don't know.
Add another wish.
And somebody, last one, I would wish for more agencies for more lamps. Or something else.
What?
So basically, I don't know what that means, but they want more lamps. They're going to wish for more lamps. Basically the same as wishing for more genies.
I was thinking of like a nightlight.
No, they're not a moth.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's that's basically wishing for more wishes. I think that's illegal.
That's illegal. Those, you can wish for more lamps, but they will... They will just be bedside table lights.
Yeah.
Desk lamps.
I like a lamp.
That's what I'm working
for. As much
for.
As the next person, you know?
I don't actually own a lamp.
Why not, John?
Don't need it.
Why don't... What?
It's lavish. It's excessive.
Lavish? Word of the day.
Word of the day is lavish.
Okay, thank you for your TikTok comments.
Please TikTok more. Keep talking.
Great. Thank you, John. We have an email.
Ooh.
It's entitled Return of the Anonymous Stranger.
What a strange title.
What a strange title.
Must have been written by someone very strange.
It says, Dear the Friendship Quest, it has been over a month since I last sent you an email. I mean, this email was also a long time ago. It's been over a month since I last sent you an email, and I greatly enjoyed hearing my question read out and answered on air. In fact, the brief thrill of celebrity has driven me to say that if you are ever truly scraping the barrel of ideas for your podcast, I would be more than happy to ask you both some questions on an interesting topic, perhaps on what makes a good game.
Mm.
If you wish, I could send over my CV or perhaps provide a reference for another podcast I have guested on, though I have got a better mic since then.
Good
if bribes are required, I'm sure I can cobble together some Yu-Gi-Oh cards and chicken nuggets. On the other hand, if blackmail is required, that will be harder, though I have attached a taste of what I was able to come up with on short notice. Hopefully it won't come to that, though. And that is a great picture, by
it's
the way.
It's a fantastic picture of me in what can only be described as year 8.
That's the blackmail. And so, you know what? We did think, hey ho, we are scraping the barrel.
And so we've decided to invite the anonymous stranger onto the podcast. Say hello.
Hello.
Oh my God.
Do you wish to be named or do you want to be anonymous?
I don't mind. It's fine.
That's not helpful. This is improv comedy. There's no I don't minds. It's yes or no.
Yes, I am the anonymous stranger whose name is... Kieran Powell.
Hello, Kieran Powell, or KP for short.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I am very good.
How are you feeling?
I am feeling ready to podcast.
Do you want to explain how you know Kieran Powell so it's not like we've just dragged a random stranger
on? Yeah, he isn't an anonymous stranger. He is, in fact, a very known person. And he is my friend from school.
Very known.
He's so known. You've heard his resume. He's been on other podcasts.
That's true. More than I can say.
What a prestigious guest. Yes, we know each other from school.
Yes.
And he's visited me at university and met Katie once, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Kieran Powell, what's our question today?
What make a good game?
What make good game?
Thank you. Good.
Is that what's going to flash up?
Yeah, that's what's
going to
flash up on my TikTok.
What make good game?
What make good game?
Kieran Powell.
Yes, John.
My friend.
My other friend.
Please expand on your question.
So, the reason I thought to ask this question is the one brief time that I met Katie, her, John, and I were all playing a game.
What?
Whoa!
And it was a great game. And it was fun.
It was a good game.
So I know that you guys have played games before, which is important.
Yeah.
I hope all our other listeners have as well.
Yes, if you haven't played a game, they are notoriously fun.
Really, really recommend it.
Especially in person, though.
Oh.
We won't, maybe we'll avoid that as a... We'll get too sad and start crying on the podcast.
No tears on the podcast.
No tears.
They will be edited out.
Well, what's quite interesting as well is... If the first time we met, we played a game. The first time I met John, we played a game.
It's just a good way to break the ice, especially at university.
Yeah.
It is, because if you don't want to talk to the other people, you just play the game.
Also true.
Classic strategy.
I mean, I don't think either me or you, John, really spoke that evening that we played Monopoly.
No.
No, we just sat there and played Monopoly.
We played Monopoly.
Yeah.
Usually people stop talking after they play Monopoly, not during.
Well, other people were talking.
Oh, Monopoly. Well, we hate Monopoly, as we said in our last...
I like Monopoly.
No.
I was going to say, do you both hate Monopoly?
We decided we disliked Monopoly.
You decided I didn't speak. I mean, I only play Disney Monopoly.
Oh. Is it better?
Wow.
It's the same, but Disney.
What were the place names? What was like the most expensive place?
Oh, God, I can't remember off the top of my head. I feel like Hannah Montana was one of the blue ones.
Fun.
Well, so they're people, they're not places, so you can own Hannah Montana.
They're movies.
Oh, like Disney.
So like Lion King, Jungle Book, they're all there.
I thought it was going to be like King Neptune's Castle or like...
That would make more sense.
That sounds more fun.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I always played Simpsons Monopoly. It wasn't better, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, it's the same game, but there's slightly more like, oh, I'm going
to
win.
There's a bit more novelty to
it. Lion King. Yeah. But also, yeah. I only play Monopoly with my parents, and we just make up whatever we want, and it's less tactical, and it's just like, let's buy stuff and move on with our lives. They hate it. They hate Monopoly. Every time I'm like, we have Monopoly, should we play that? And they're like, no. Anyway, let's move on from Monopoly.
Well,
yeah. What was the game that we played at your university house? Well, it wasn't even your house. It was one of your friends' houses.
Oh, yeah. As in my game.
Yes, what was that game?
That game was called Bedlam. And it's a game I wouldn't think anybody else knows because it was from a play that I was directing, where in the play, the characters played a card game called Bedlam. Mm. And it's a card game with just Uno cards, and each player has a rule that's like, when you play a yellow card, you have to stand up while you play it, and nobody else knows the rule. Mm. Only you know the rule, and you get penalised when other people don't get the rule. So everybody gets penalised for not following the rule, even though you don't know the rule.
Yeah.
You have to guess what the rule is. It's very complicated and very difficult to explain if you're not playing it, but it's a great game. You come up with your own rules. It's fun.
It's good when you play it because you're not just paying attention to what you're doing. You're paying attention to what everyone else is doing. And when someone doesn't get called out, you're like, oh, they've got it right. What did they do?
And yeah, exactly.
As more people get it, it becomes easier.
Yeah.
Because you have more people to watch, and some people aren't very sly about following the rules.
So, what do you think? What do you think makes a good game, Karen Powell?
Well,
you've proposed this question to us.
I have proposed this question. Well, first, I think it would be interesting to talk about what different sorts of games there are, because there's board games, there's video games, there's card games, there's party games, there's role-playing games. There's so many games. Life is a game.
Life is a game. Oh, we're going places. So, what sort of games do you want to talk about first? Or is there a difference?
I don't know.
Is that more interesting a question?
Because maybe fundamentally they are sort of... They seem very different, but I guess they are trying to get towards the same thing, which is just having fun.
Yeah, that you had a good time.
You had a good time.
So maybe this is a nice distinction. Like, a game needs to involve both luck and skill.
Yes.
Ooh.
Because if it's only luck, then it's just like chance or gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's just skill, then it's a puzzle.
Well, obviously, all games come in all shapes and sizes, like we've said, and some of them have very little chance, and that's fine. I think it's certainly more satisfying to solve a puzzle than to, you know, roll a dice on its own.
Yeah, I think video games, when I think of them, I'm thinking of games that I enjoy because, like, you have that it's about skill. Whether that skill level's particularly high or not, it doesn't matter. But skill in doing something, I think, is more fun than just things happening because they happened.
Yeah. Top question for you, John. What is your favorite game?
Oh,
hang on. I think we should do this by category. So you listed loads of different types of games at the start. I think we should go through each one and we can name our favourites in that category and then talk about what's good about them. And then we can see if there are similarities, any correlation.
Nice, nice. Katie Thank bringing you. Some structure to the rambling.
Yeah. That's my Very drama good. Degree for you. Oh. It's not. It's nice. Useless degree.
Don't do drama, kids. My favourite video game is... I'll tell you, I like so many games. I'd say The Legend of Zelda is probably my favourite franchise of games.
Right.
And those are adventure games where you go out, you role-play. It's a role-playing game in a sense because you are playing as Link, a hero. And the satisfaction, I guess, comes from exploring dungeons, fighting monsters, and there's a lot of skill involved with that, and also solving puzzles. So nice. I think it has a healthy balance of there's a story there that it doesn't matter too much as long as you don't get lost in what you're doing, but you can get invested in it. But that just sort of adds flavor, whereas everything else is a car alarm. I stopped. It started again for a...
What is it doing?
Okay, stop now. Yes, anyway, so The Legend of Zelda, really fun, combines satisfaction of a story with puzzle solving. There's skill involved in not dying when you're fighting monsters. And That's a healthy amount of exploration. At. Yeah.
I'm awful at
Zelda. Are you a sort of completionist? Do you like try and find absolutely. All the bits?
If there's a game I really like, there's nothing more satisfying than
this car alarm. Keep going.
Nothing more satisfying than a car alarm.
I love car alarms. If there's a game I really love, like some of the Zelda games, there's nothing more satisfying than, you know, unlocking everything it has to offer.
Like 100%. Like finding 100%. Are they the Korok seeds from...
Oh, I haven't done that yet because it's so tedious, but in Breath of the Wild, there are 900 Korok seeds you can find, which are just... Don't actually add anything after a certain point in the game.
So you said it's tedious to find them all, and then you said you're a completionist. Like, those don't seem to go together. Seems like you're giving up there, John.
Okay. To be honest, I don't think finding everything in a game like that would actually add to my satisfaction. I'm a completionist, but I'm not like... I'm not overly fixated on it.
You're not actually a completionist. You're just a pretend completionist.
All right. Well, I did everything else in that game.
Sure.
Yeah, I have Breath of the Wild. I'm really bad at Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
It looks like a great game that I played for like a couple of days. And the problem is now, if I go back on it, I don't remember any of the controls or how to do anything.
Yeah.
But, like, I've got through all of that part now, so now I'm just, like, in the middle of this world. I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing because I've forgotten how it works, and I don't know how to get back into it because I don't know how to do anything.
Oh, that is very sad.
That's what happens to me with a lot of games.
Yeah.
I forget it all, and then I'm like, oh, I haven't played this game in a while, let's play it. And then I'm like,
Yeah, I think it's not as easy to pick up again as other sorts of games. Certainly board games and card games, generally, you can pick them up. You might need a refresher on the rules. But I think video games can be so complicated with the many combinations of things you need to be able to know how to do that actually that can ruin it if you forget everything because you haven't played it for a week or something.
Also, if it's single player, you don't have anyone to like remind you. Whereas if you forgot a rule... If you're playing a board game with other people, you can just ask them and they'll just tell you, and it's not that difficult. And also board games don't tend to build upon themselves. You don't need to remember what happened the last time you played Monopoly to play another game of Monopoly.
That would be quite difficult. That's obviously a blessing and a curse in the sense that there's a great amount of satisfaction in that if I play a Zelda game for 40 hours... Like, every hour builds onto the next, you know, and there's once I finish the game, it's the culmination of all of that time accomplishing something, I guess. I also like Breath of the Wild so much, for example, because it's so open-ended. That's a really good example of, like, a completely open-ended, open-world game where there is an objective, and you're given it right at the start, which is just to defeat the bad guy. You're told you have to defeat the bad guy, and in between, you can do whatever you want. Which I think to some people might put them off because it's almost too open-ended. and it's not clear enough what you should be doing. But I think there is also a great amount of satisfaction in just exploring and discovering what this world has to offer yourself.
Nice.
Okay.
So, Katie, video games.
Yeah. I'm pretty much the opposite. So I'm one of those people, open-ended, it scares me a little bit. Like, yeah. What am I doing? Where am I going? Tell me, help. But then I also love Skyrim, which is quite open-ended.
Absolutely.
I love that game. And
I play it
quite a lot. Yeah. And that's strange for me because any other game like that I've not enjoyed.
Mm.
I'm just not good at them. But yeah. I'm okay at Skyrim. I don't know why that adds up. I like that game. You just run around. You beat lots of things. You have so many different quests. You can decide to do whatever you want to do. And go off and do them, have a great time.
I think Skyrim differs in a sense to other open world games in that the world is so densely packed with quests and objectives.
Yeah.
You can always find something
to do. If you walk in any direction, you'll find something.
Yeah.
Whereas other exploration games like Breath of the Wild, there's not necessarily something in every corner that you can do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a pretty field and that's it.
And that's cute, but I don't enjoy running through a field.
You just
in
sort
a game.
Of feel like you've done this, I've got here and now there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Whereas Skyrim, you'll always find something and you can do those sorts of quests forever and ever. And it's very difficult
Skyrim
to run
has
out of things.
A faction system. Like so you can like be in the Thieves Guild or the Companions or whatever. And you can progress in that, and you don't really have to do the main storyline, and a lot of people don't, but it still feels like you're doing some, it has a path, even though you're off the main path.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the fact that, I think on other games where you go off and do other things that aren't the main path, you think, oh, now just, okay, I've kind of done that, but now I have to get back on board because I'm not really making progress. Whereas Skyrim, you can go off and do something completely different and feel like you're achieving something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, but it's very different from the other games that I tend to play. I do tend to play more story-based things. So I used to play pretty much all of Telltale games. So that was all just like sort of making choices that would impact where the story was going.
Yeah.
That was all that was. So there wasn't much gameplay. It was more about choosing different paths for your characters to go down. But I think a great game, a fantastic game, the Professor Layton games.
Yes.
Was such good games.
What do you love about the Professor Layton games?
They're perfect.
Why are they perfect?
I don't know. But they're very story-based.
Yes.
There's like a main plot.
Yeah.
And you have your characters. There are so many games and the characters are in all of them pretty much. It's like a consistent... It's like MCU level almost.
Whoa.
Like there's like a whole universe. Professor Layton's going off meeting all sorts. It all links up. It's wild. But it's all puzzle based as well.
Yeah.
So you're like a professor. You're kind of Sherlock Holmes, basically, going around solving crime. And like you'll come across some evidence. You have to solve a puzzle. And they're properly like difficult puzzles in places. And it just keeps going. And the puzzles get harder. And you go through. Oh, it's such a good game.
Yeah.
I'd play that right now. I would finish this podcast right now and go play Professor Layton.
So that's an interesting one because the satisfaction seems to almost entirely come from... Obviously, the story's good.
Yeah.
But then I think most of the satisfaction of playing it is the puzzle aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do
Which
walk around and you click on
things. Which I think Legend of Zelda has
as
well, right? With the story and the puzzle.
Yeah. I think they share a lot, which is interesting, despite being aesthetically very,
very different.
Very different.
Yeah. What about you, Karen Paul? What's your favourite video game?
It's a tough question, but one of my favorites is Portal.
Yeah.
Oh, great game.
Excellent game. Dare I say
I'm happy
perfect
I made
game?
It. I'm happy I made a good decision.
I hadn't even thought of it.
Well, I thought you might
I
say
honestly,
Skyrim at first.
No, I haven't actually played a lot of Skyrim. I watched a lot of people playing Skyrim, and I felt like when I actually sat down to play Skyrim, I didn't play as much as I thought I would.
Yeah.
But Portal, I think is like, it's just such a great game. I think it's a great introduction for people who don't really play video games.
Absolutely.
I could play
Portal.
That tells you everything you need to know. I could play the game.
It's great because it seems so like simple. It's just like a puzzle platformer game.
Mm.
And like, I like that to begin with. And then when you start to... it starts to change a bit as it goes along.
Yeah.
Not to spoil anything, but it sort of develops and it becomes different.
It's a really satisfying game because by the end, you have to use everything you've learned to actually complete it. And that is entirely down to you and your skill. Yeah. But it's not a hard game to get started on, which is great.
Mm-hmm. It really trains you up. There is there isn't a tutorial really. Well, I guess there is, but each level gets more difficult and you use the bits that you learnt before. So you'll always feel like you're in it and you're just playing along. And it does a great job of like explaining the rules of the world. That was a lot of talk about video games. Should we talk about some other types of games?
I was just thinking about what we've sort of come to with video games. I think fairness is an interesting point because I get really angry at games when I feel like I've died for some reason that's like slightly beyond my control.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then I get annoyed and then I'll just stop playing because I get angry about it.
Yeah, and that's entirely to do with the game design and sort of how like the controls and the experience mesh together.
So I think fairness is a good point. I think sort of comprehensibility, so like knowing how to play and it being built up well, was another good point.
And that's only one type of game.
Let's try more quickfire. Next round. Board games.
Board games.
John, go.
I love
favorite board game. One reason.
Oh god.
I can't do this.
I'm not that big a fan of board games, to be honest. I do like them, but I don't play them that much. But I do like them. If we're just talking about normal board games, my favorite might be.
I don't know. I can't pick a favorite board game either. I'm struggling to try and think of one.
Does Coup count?
That's a card game. Is it worth separating them out?
No.
Is it worth separating out card games and board games?
Let's just call them analog games.
Okay, sure.
Because I think there is a difference because you could have a board for some of, like, there are some card games where you could just have a board.
Yeah, and I think technically Coup is like a thing that you can put down to like place things on.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! In that sense is similar as well. It has a map, but you play with cards.
Coup is a good game.
Don't know it.
We've played it, I think.
Have we?
Maybe.
I imagine you would have. It's a really small box, so I don't know why John wouldn't have taken it with him.
Yeah, but I might have just said no. That's the difference.
He's really short. It's actually a really good game.
You've upset Kieran Powell now.
Sorry. Just don't know what we're talking about.
I had something else in my head.
Because there's also like trading card games, which aren't board games, and they're a sort of different genre as well.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Yu-Gi-Oh! Just disclaimer.
John, you
never
nerd.
Would have guessed. I know, I'm such a nerd. And it's very similar to these massive online games, cooperative online games and things, where the barrier for entry to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Is quite high. The amount of knowledge you need to play it, and like because you need to sort of have a good set of cards already, is a lot of investment in time, money, all these things.
Yeah, I've never understood trading card games. Not in the sense that I think people who play them are weird, but I just mean like for me, I could never imagine myself getting into that. I just don't get it.
Yeah, but I mean the mechanics of the game itself, removed from the sort of trading collecting aspect, is I think very good.
Okay, never tried. Yeah.
But I'd have,
never going
to. It's a complicated one to sort of introduce people to.
Yeah. Katie, do you have any thoughts on analog games?
What's your favourite analog game? Don't say Monopoly.
I'm not going to say Monopoly. Well, who do you think I am?
You said you loved Monopoly.
No, I didn't say I loved Monopoly.
You did at
no,
the start.
I didn't.
Roll it
I
back.
I didn't say
roll
I loved Monopoly. I said I liked Monopoly.
My name's Katie and I love Monopoly. Back to present time.
Shut up. It's not what happened. You've thrown me off now.
That was a really good
Mr. Moneybag's just going to give her like a sack of like Monopoly money as a bribe for endorsing it.
Cut to yesterday before the podcast. Being given a bribe.
How did you know?
Oh dear.
What was I talking about?
Analog games. What's your favourite analog game?
Yeah, but I had what I was going to say. You throw me off completely.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think one of my favourite card games is Bedlam.
Yeah.
Which is, I said Bedlam really weird.
Bedlam.
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 But I do really like that. I just think it's fun and you can completely tailor it to you and your friends. Like,
yeah.
Because you come up with the rules for it. And it's just great. Ooh, that's a different car alarm. That's so exciting.
That's really fun.
variety on the friendship quest. I don't enjoy playing Settlers of Catan, but I am undefeated at it.
Ooh,
Settlers is a great game. I really like it.
It's just not the game for me. However, I have not been beaten at it.
Because you played it once.
I've played it, I think, 3 times.
You've played it 3 times and won every time?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Sometimes we play in pairs, but I have also won in my pair.
Okay.
So, hey ho.
New respect.
But I'm not playing it again.
Oh.
I don't like it.
Don't want to tarnish that record. What about you, Kieran Powell? Tell me.
Well, I was struggling to think of one, and then Kate, you mentioned Catan, and I realised I really like Catan as a board game.
I understand why people like it. It's a bit convoluted for me. I'm not a fan of games that, like, you have to... I don't know. I just get funny about things like... We were talking... When we were playing Bridge, our housemate really loves playing Bridge. And look, I enjoy it. I do enjoy playing it every now and then, but it just feels so over the top about some of its rules. Like, I just can't be bothered. Why are we doing it this way? And that's kind of how I get about Settlers of Catan. I just think there's so much... I just can't be bothered. I don't have the attention span.
I personally feel like Settlers of Catan doesn't... The rules itself aren't that bad. I think what happens is you start building... Like, once you get past the basic rules, then you can start working out other things.
Yeah.
Like, there's lots of, like, tactics and stuff that aren't part of the basic rules.
Right.
And every time I've played it, like, the people I've been playing, if I play with the same people, it just sort of elevates every time we play. And we all get better at the same time. And it's just, it's a great feeling when the board is set up. Because that's another thing about Catan. If you don't know, the board changes every time you play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it gives it a lot of replayability, in my opinion.
I think that's important.
Yeah, that's true.
For board games, is that no matter how many times I play Monopoly, the amount I'm going to improve at Monopoly is probably not going to change at this point. Whereas, obviously, that you can develop better strategies than anything. But then, yeah, Settlers of Catan or...
I do agree. Like, that's a good game to play multiple times. Yeah. Like, my enjoyment level of it hasn't gone down as I've played it. It's just that I never really enjoyed it the first time I played because it's not the game for me. Like, I can see it getting better the more you play because it's always going to change.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Yeah.
One thing about Settlers of Catan as well is it's what's called... a Euro-style board game, which basically it separates itself from American-style board games like Monopoly. Because in Monopoly, people get kicked out of the game and they're no longer playing. Whereas in Catan, people play until the very end and then you just add up points.
Yeah.
And then, so there's a chance, you can't, once you're out of Monopoly, you can't come back.
Yeah.
Whereas in Catan, there's always a chance that you could, like, stops you can have an impact on the game, or you could like have another strategy that people weren't aware of, and you're always, and there's different ways to compete. Like, it's not just you against me and like I have to beat you 100%. It's I can do something else to try and get around it.
Oh, Monopoly just sucks so much. it reminded me of a really good point. It's bad game design where by the end of the game, everyone has to drop out. So, like, if you're sixth in Monopoly, you've not been playing for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, you're not in part of the game.
True, and I've never really experienced that very much because I only play with my parents. That's 3 people, you know? Once one's gone, you're pretty much at the end of the game.
Yeah, we're done now. But then if you're trying to play with lots of people... It's just never going to end.
I think a board game that's got worse over time for me... I used to really enjoy playing Cluedo.
I like Cluedo.
But I think it's got... As I've got older, it's so easy.
It does get easy.
No, I got to a point where I'm like, everyone can solve this at the same time as each other. It just happens to be
who's going first. You should be able to solve it. Like, if you write down everything, everyone should be able to solve it at the same time.
And that's what annoys me about it. I told my parents that because we played it recently. And I was like, because I said at the dinner table, I was like, Cluedo's pointless though, because you all just solve it at the same time nowadays. Yeah. Now that, like, I'm not a child, we can all solve it at the same time. And they were like, that's not true. And I was like, let's play it then. And I did actually win. But my point stood, I feel, because my mum was like, yeah, I was pretty much there. I'm not sure my dad was, but that was just him.
So that's one that you can play wrong, in that if you're not noting down all the information, you're not
that's
playing right.
That's why I lost last time I played, is I was like, oh, I'll write down some of the stuff. It's not that important. But you have to write down everything that everyone says, and then you can do it.
Which just gets frustrating. I love Scrabble.
I don't hate Scrabble. I'd play Scrabble. I hate Boggle. Did you ever play Boggle?
I kind of like Boggle.
My mum loves Boggle. Hate that game.
I kind of like it. It's not as good as Scrabble.
It's just a load of letters in a square. You shake it and then the letters move.
See
and
what
then
words you can make.
You got to make words. That's it. That's the game. Hate it.
I think Scrabble's pretty decent. I think if you're playing with people that you like, it's all right.
Right, moving past.
Party games.
Ooh.
I like,
what are we counting as party games?
Spin the Bottle.
No. You don't like Spin the Bottle, John. That's a lie.
I've never played Spin
never
the
played.
Bottle.
Actually, I have played Spin the Bottle.
Have
I
you?
Think. I think so, yeah.
Did you like, properly? Someone?
I don't remember. Oof. I actually don't. I just remember, like, being sat a bottle spinning.
Some people play, like, the Truth or Dare version.
Maybe that was it. I don't know. You've unlocked a memory that I've blanked out, and that concerns me, John.
I really like...
Maybe you blanked out on purpose. You told a secret in front of everyone, and I don't want to remember that.
I forget what it's called, but I really like... It's sort of like Happy Families, or... Is that the right thing I'm thinking of? It's the game where you sit back to back, and you have to, like, raise your hand.
Mr. and Mrs.
Is it Mr. and Mrs.? Yeah. That was called. So someone says something, it's like, who's more...
Yeah, who's more likely to do this?
Or who's the smartest, who's the prettiest?
I think and I've then, played that.
Yeah, if you think
and
it's you...
And you get points if you're both... If you agree, right?
If you think it's you, you raise your hand or signal some other way.
Yeah.
And if both of you do it, there's a penalty. And
yeah.
So you effectively want to agree, so only one person raises their hand.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you can ask your friends all sorts of embarrassing questions.
Yeah,
like, who has a crush on John? It's always everyone.
Hand up.
Hand up.
What was I thinking of? Paranoia. I like Paranoia.
Oh, Paranoia is a great
game.
That's
a great game.
Play that game if you've never played that game, but only with people you're comfortable with, I'd say.
Yeah.
Wait, I can't remember Paranoia.
Somebody whispers to the person next to them saying, like, you have to... Who's the most likely to...
Who's the most likely to get arrested?
Stop whispering. Who's the most likely to get arrested is quite a common one.
Yeah.
And then that person will just say a name. So everybody in the circle, they just hear a name.
Yes. No, I remember this.
Some people do, like, rock, paper, scissors to find that, like...
I think I've played it, you, like, flip a coin, and if it's heads, then they say the question out loud, and if it's tails, you don't.
You never find out the question. So somebody will just say your name and you don't know what the question was. It could have been anything. I love that game.
Makes you very paranoid.
It does make you paranoid. It is intense. It is quite fun. But
yeah, it's a good game. Good bonding activity.
Yeah.
The good thing about party games is I think you get to... It becomes more personal.
Yeah.
And I like playing games with people. And it's just another excuse to play games with people that you like.
It's sort of the extreme version of the social aspect of games.
Yeah, I think party games so far, like, out of the three we talked about, are the most different in terms of what makes them good.
Yes.
Because it's way more about how you're spending time with people than really what makes up the game.
You're not really thinking about luck and skill.
Yeah, you don't really care.
I guess there's a skill in asking a funny question or, you know, coming up with a funny answer.
Yeah.
But
sometimes
then...
people aren't good at that. And then, like, if you can't just think of... Because really, you could just have a conversation about these things. Like, I could just ask you, hey, John, tell me a secret. Like, you could just go around and do that. But that's not...
If you came up to me saying, hey, John, tell me a secret, I would not say anything to you, sir.
Exactly. So I have to come up with a game and be like, haha, John, I have a fun game for you. I'm going to flip a coin, and if it's heads, you tell me a secret. And if it's tails, then I'll tell you a secret.
I used to hate party games when there was nothing interesting about me.
You think that's changed?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No. But I do think it's changed a bit since I went to uni. I think I have more interesting facts, mainly that I got hit by a car. I love party games now because I wait for the moment that I can just drop in. Yeah, because I have a metal cheekbone. And then people will be like, oh, whoa, that's so interesting. How did that happen? I'll be like,
really?
I got run over and then everyone stops. Love killing the mood.
I didn't know that you had a metal cheekbone. That's quite
exactly.
Intense.
Yeah, exactly. She's that's why it's so cool.
And now all the listeners know too. This was just an excuse to get that piece of information
I've
out
been
there.
Waiting. I don't know how many episodes we're in, like 15. This is the moment.
It's going to be great because one day you're like someone will, maybe you'll get in a fight and someone will punch you and then they'll like hit the metal bit and then it'll be like, haha, that's my secret.
That's yeah, that's what I'm
weapon.
Waiting for.
And then they'll just hit you on the other side.
Yeah. Well, they don't know. I might be Wolverine.
I don't think... Would it actually hurt if someone punched your metal cheekbone? Would it
I don't
hurt you?
Know. I don't think it would probably hurt would. Me.
I think you should try, John.
Let's give it a go.
I mean, it's like... quite it's quite...
Ow!
Stop. Because it gets cold.
Yes.
When it's cold outside, so it's like not hidden away metal, you know, it's doing something.
Okay, I see what you mean, like it's exposed to
some
extent.
It gets cold.
I wish I had a metal cheekbone.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, not gonna lie. Could do without the trauma that went with it. What genre are we on?
What genre are we on?
Yeah,
I think we've gone through
games.
Party
I forgot
games,
we were talking about
but there's also another big type of games is role-playing games. And
I
like,
have no information on this.
Oh, Kieran.
I like them. I think they're quite fun. I think they're great.
Kieran Powell is a big Dungeons & Dragons player.
I am.
We have a friend who plays Dungeons & Dragons and just wants to steal things. It's just like... They always just, after the enemy's defeated or as soon as they enter a room, it's just like, okay, I check and see if there's some hidden treasure somewhere. And it's like, they do that every time.
Do you know what I do? Because I was a character. I don't know what was it. I don't know how D&D works. Like, just people tell me how it works while I play. But I was really good at sneaking.
Yeah.
If I attacked while sneaking, I would just,
you were a rogue.
Great. Yes. That and literally every 5 seconds I'd be like, am I sneaking? And then he'd like do a check and then be like, yes, and then be like, okay, good. And then I'd check the thing.
That's what I like to hear.
Well, I think the difference is people, it feels like a video game, but it's not. Like, obviously in Skyrim, for example, you can just sneak the whole time.
Yeah,
that's why I chose that character, because I didn't know what I was doing in the character building stage. And Jake, who was our DM, was like...
The previous guest we had.
Yeah.
Because it's a prerequisite. If you ever want to be a guest on the podcast,
you have to be
a Dungeon
Master.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, but he was like, well, what's your character like in Skyrim? I basically just
obviously
did that
a stealth
character.
Archer. The only character.
Yeah, exactly. So I just did that again.
I always play a wizard.
That's, of course you do, John.
Wizards are great.
Anyway, I understand the appeal of D&D and I enjoy playing it with friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
When people like go out and like do massive things, I don't take it too seriously.
Not you don't want to LARP with me.
No.
Can we go LARPing?
No.
John, I will go with you. I want it at some point.
I feel like you're too cool to LARP, Kieran Powell. What's going on here?
I don't know whether I should take that as a compliment or not. I think I probably should, but...
No, I don't mean that. Wait.
Wait, no, I mean accepted it as a compliment. You can't
I
say
mean it in
not,
the bit. I mean what I mean whatever makes you happiest.
Okay.
I'd go laughing with you. I understand not wanting to go out in public dressed in a particular way.
So I guess Katie doesn't really play any other tabletop role playing games other than D&D occasionally.
No.
And John, are there any other random ones you play? There is a very, I guess it is more specific type of game. But I think the reason I bring it up is because it takes a lot of that, like, the party games, hanging out with friends. It takes a lot of the, like, you can change the rules because they're not set in stone, and it has luck involved. Yeah, I feel like it takes a lot of the, you can have puzzles, it's all story. I feel like you can tailor it quite a lot, which is what I think is great about it.
What we're saying is it's the ultimate combination of all these things, except the one issue with D&D and a lot of things is the learning curve, again.
What? It's quite difficult to get into, are you saying?
I think it's a lot to learn.
That was my... If I hadn't been supported by the people I was playing with, who basically dragged me through it as we went along, I still don't know how to play it.
Mm.
People do everything for me, and then I sit there and I say ridiculous things, and they go along with it.
It's a cult you need to be initiated into before you can.
Very true. Well, I think we've reached a natural stopping point there.
Sure. So what things do we think we like in games? Should we go through that, or
in all games?
What are some things?
I love being able to make impactful decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Agreed. Very important.
I like having a healthy balance of luck and skill, where I'm rewarded for playing well and not unfairly penalized.
Okay, agree.
I like a small element of luck, though, just to keep it spicy.
I think that's fair.
And I think being able to win, or at least make a comeback from any position, is always a good shout. Victory's never assured. Unlike Monopoly, where you get crushed and then you have to drop out.
That's an interesting point, actually, because I really enjoy playing Smash Bros. We haven't talked about that.
Yeah, we love a lot of Smash.
But when we play against each other, because you're so much, like, you're infinitely better than me. Oh. Shut up.
See, John never feels like he's good at Smash Bros. Because he's got another friend that's even better than him.
Yeah, he said that. But, like, I'm not bad at it. I can play. But you're much better at it than me. So when we're playing, like, as a group of friends, and then it's like left as me versus you at the end, I just stand there and like, well, I don't really see why I'm even bothering to press buttons anymore, because I'm putting in all this effort and like you're guaranteed to win.
I'm not guaranteed to win.
I feel like when I played Smash Bros against John, I would do like I think with like Kirby you can do like a down attack, and I keep doing that, and I really just annoyed John. Because I'm not very good either. Yeah, so I do that. It annoys John when I hit him, because he's like, I'm John's playing properly, and I'm just there like, ha ha ha. I can like
try and get a shot off. But that's what I used to do. That's what I used to do when I didn't know what I was doing, but I got a lot better at it. And so then I try and do proper things, but then you're actually better at fighting that, because you can predict what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And that's what annoys me, is the more I try, the more easily you beat me.
That is true.
So then that feels unfair to me, and then I get angry, and then I feel bad because I'm getting angry at you, but like, we're just playing a game, and then people are like, okay, Katie, like, calm down, but also I'm annoyed.
I think that's fair. Like, I feel like if I sat down to play Smash Bros. With John, it wouldn't be fun for anyone involved.
That's the problem. That's what I say. And then you start doing annoying things because you're like, haha, I've won. And then you start like pressing annoying John, things. And I'm like, well, can you stop?
I know I'm going to win. I can just mess around.
Like, yeah. I don't even know how to taunt. And you just stand on the edge taunting as I desperately try and get back on the stage.
John just like, ha, noob. I'm just going to...
Listen, I only have one thing to say. Get good, scrubs.
Tried.
You are a lot better. You've got better, and you continue to get better.
But my point is, if a game made me feel like that, I would stop playing the game.
Okay.
I can forgive you. You're my friend.
Yes. Of course. That is why we do the podcast together.
Yes, no grudges.
If a game did that.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I understand that. Games are great. Play a game. If you've never played a game, give it a go. You might surprise yourself.
Play a game. Play.
Play video games.
Maybe play some of the games we talked about.
We've come up with some excellent games. We've recommended some fantastic games.
We've talked about this topic We've talked about what makes game... What was the question?
What
make
game?
Good game.
What make good game?
What make I good game?
Is how we, you phrased it.
Yes, by deliberately keeping the question itself in a vague sense of English, we have vaguely talked about and maybe answered some part of that question.
That's the dream. And I think we've done it fairly well.
Yeah. We've talked a long time, which means editing Katie is
going
to
have to cut. Talked a long time. Editing Katie is going to be very angry with listening to this entire movie length discussion.
This is going to take so long. I hate it.
We've been recording so long. Please let us know what your favourite games are or what you love about your favourite games at thefriendshipquest@gmail.com or on Katie's TikTok. Thank you very much, Kieran Powell, for joining us and providing your wonderful question.
Yes.
Do you want to shout out anything or I don't know. It just feels like something I should ask. It's a bit weird.
No, I don't.
You don't want any fame?
No, I have the fame I need, which is zero fame.
That's very good to hear. I quite agree, and yet here I am.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you for joining us. Any final thoughts?
Ooh. Games.
Yay! and don't forget that no matter where you run, the games will find you.